Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Yesterday we learned about the mitzvah that every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah. Today we're going to learn about a special Jew who has a special mitzvah to write an additional Sefer Torah. The 29th Shir of Rambam, which corresponds to the 8th, 9th, and 10th, which are the final chapters of the laws of Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah, is the 17th mitzvah of the Torah. That's today's Shir. In the translation of Sefer HaMitzvahs, Hatzivui Shenitztavinu, the command we were given, Shekol Melech Hayoshev Etzleinu, that any king who will be a sitting monarch for us, the Jewish people, Al Kiseh HaMalchot, that he will sit upon a throne, Yichtov Sefer Torah La'atzmo, that he must write a Sefer Torah for himself. The Rambam adds, not only must he write a Sefer Torah for himself, but velo yipareid mimenu, he should not separate from the Sefer Torah. So he writes a Sefer Torah, and it remains with him at all times. This commandment is spelled out in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 17, verse 18. It says, v'hoya, will come to pass, chishivto al kisei malchuto, he will sit upon the throne, will assume governance and power, v'chosav lo es mishne ha-Torah hazot, then he will write this second Torah, this additional Torah. The details of this mitzvah are explained in the second chapter of Masechet Sanhedrin. Although, as we're going to see, not all of the details for this mitzvah that the Rambam includes in Mishnah Torah are actually found in the Talmud Bavli. Some of these details are found in the Talmud Yerushalmi. In Mishnah Torah, the Rambam elaborates on this, not much more, a little bit more. And he says that in addition to the mitzvah that every single Jew has to write a Sefer Torah, the Hamelech, that the king, mitzvah alav lichtov Sefer Torah echad la'atzmo, he has an obligation to write an additional Sefer Torah. This is yeter al Sefer sheyihi lo kishuhu hedyot. This is in addition to the Torah that he's supposed to have when he's an ordinary Jew, a commoner. Every Jew is supposed to write a Sefer Torah, as we discussed yesterday. As it says, and he quotes the same pasuk from Sefer Dvarim from the book of Deuteronomy. Now the Rambam in Mishnah Torah adds something which is not found in the Talmud Bavli. This is an example of how if somebody learns the Talmud Bavli only, learn Daf Yomi, you don't have all the halachas in Torah, because there are some halachot, some laws of Torah, which are only found in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Jerusalem Talmud. Some laws are only found in the Tesefta. And this is one of them. And the Rambam says that this is a part of the mitzvah, that this Sefer Torah, which the king, the monarch of the Jewish people, writes, magihin oto mi sefer ha'azara, it has to be reviewed. We have to make sure that every detail is proper as per the Sefer Torah that's in the Azara in the Beit HaMikdash. And that has to be done al pi Beth Din HaGadol, under the tutelage of Beth Din HaGadol. So in the Tesefta, in the Sanhedrin, chapter 4, Halacha 4, it says, Magiyin also bebezdin shal Kohanim, ubebezdin shal Levim, ubebezdin shal Yisrael hamasiyin l'kahuna. Which means that when we have this Torah reviewed and carefully checked so that there are no mistakes in this Torah, it has to be a bezdin in which there are all classes of Jews present. Now, the classes of Jews we refer to here are Jews who are considered of high pedigree, of significant lineage. So Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, who are able to be married to Kohanim. Now this is also connected to the idea that the Bezdin of Shivim V'Achas and the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash, all of the members of that Bezdin comprised Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim Hamasiyan Lekahuna, Kohen Israelite, Levian Israelite, who was permitted to marry into the family of Kohanim. There are all kinds of limitations of who may not marry into the family of Kohanim. So what does he do with his first Sefer Torah? Because he came with a Torah. had a Torah when he was a commoner. Now he just was elevated and he became a king. So the Rambam says, Zeh shahaya leikishu hedyet, the Sefer Torah that he had when he was a commoner. So that should go, maniche bebeis genozov, it goes into wherever he puts his things. Everybody has a place where they store things. Most of us don't have treasure houses. We have junk houses, right? We keep our stuff that our wife usually wants us to throw out, right? We all have stuff. So people do. People have valuables. Some of those valuables are actually have a market value. Some of them just have sentimental value. But we all have a place where we keep our things. Some of us have a desk, have a bookshelf. We keep our things. So this man, this who just became the king, the Sefer Torah that he had before will go in his study. It'll go wherever he keeps his artifacts. However, this Torah is in addition to that and has to be with him all of the time. Zeh shekosav, o shenichtav lo, this Sefer Torah that the king wrote himself, which would be the ideal way to fulfill the mitzvah, or that he hired somebody to write on his behalf. Achar shemolach, this has to be a Sefer Torah that was written or commissioned subsequent to his ascension to the throne. Yihyeh imo tamid. It's always with him. So we imagine what a Jewish king would look like. We have to imagine a little Torah scroll in his hands. Im yetze la milchama, one of the things that kings do is lead the people in battle, in war. So then, guess what? Sefer Torah imo. Sefer Torah goes with him. Nichnas, the king enters to whatever formal entrance he's going into. Behu imo. Yoshev bedin, the king of the Jewish people, was many times very learned. He often occupied the position of Nasi, leader of the Sanhedrin. Or if he's just in a situation where he's judging a reality, making decisions. Behu imo. Nasev, the king is spending time in a relaxed fashion. Once again, Vahu Kenegdo, he's relaxing. It's not appropriate to sit on the couch with a Sefer Torah, but the Sefer Torah is always right near him. So he never goes very far from his Sefer Torah. As it is written in the 19th verse, Vahoyo Imo, it will be with him. And the idea of the Torah being with him is not that it should be a prop. It should always be a closed Sefer Torah, and it should always stay inside its cover or case. But rather, v'karabo, because he has the Sefer Torah at all times, he reads in it kol yimechayav, all the days of his life. So it's interesting that the Rambam talks to us about the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. But the Rosh tells us that the mitzvah of Sefer Torah is so that we should have Torah scrolls available to study. And he says in today's day and age, when people don't study really from a Sefer Torah, it's only read from the Bima during the formal times of Torah reading. What do people study from? They have Sfarim, they have books, holy books. So the Rosh, who lived before the printing press, he says you have to write books of Talmud, books of Medrash, books of Mishnah, the writings of our sages, which in today's day and age, of course, means that we should all own books. Every Jewish home should be a bayis malei yavne v'chachomel. It should be a book that's filled with the sages, the writings of the sages. Every Jewish home should have a chumash. Every Jewish home should have a siddur. Every Jewish home should have classic Hasidic works, Tanya, etc. A person should have a Mishnah at home, should have a Gemara at home, should have a house that's filled with books. And if you are not capable of reading the books in their original in Hebrew, they should have books in English that you could read. Otherwise, we go back to the Sefer Torah paradigm. It just stays there as a fancy prop, and you can't do anything with it. They tell a story that there was once a simple person, a wealthy simple person, but he was not learned. So he bought for his house a nice big Gemara, a beautiful, nice shas, it's called. And sitting on the shelf, a nice shas. And he never used it, so it always looked perfect. It was a beautiful prop. And then, as happened, his daughter got married, and the son-in-law was a scholar, and he started to use the Gemara, and the boy, young man was sitting and learning, and the book started getting frayed. And he was very distraught. He said, I had these beautiful books in my house, and now the binding is falling apart. So his friend said, don't worry about it. He said, buy him a new Gemara. And in the meantime, you could cut down the big Gemara and make a little Mishnayos. That's a joke they tell. The point is that books are not props. Books are supposed to be used. So the books we have at home are books we should be able to use. If somebody can't read in the Hebrew original, he should have books in the English. And that is ultimately the reason. The assumption is that if there are books, people will read. And there was actually a statistical study done that in houses where there are books, then children tend to read more. You can go on your iPod and read on Kindle. True. But the fact is, if there are books, people read more. So these are the things that are important for a Jewish house in general, and especially if that person is a monarch, which we're soon going to talk about. Now what happens, we talked about in this halacha, somebody had a Sefer Torah, and now he adds a second Sefer Torah. So what happens if, for whatever reason, this commoner, ordinary Jew, who now became the king, he never had his own Sefer Torah, and now he became the king. So the Rambam says, then he has to write two Torah scrolls. Achad manichei bebeis genozov, like every good Jew, should have a Torah in his study, or in modern terminology, should have Hebrew books in his home. The second Sefer Torah must be with him always. It should only depart from him at night. Only at night is the verbiage, the words that the Rambam uses. I have to tell you that in the Sifri of Parsha Shoftim, it says, Yimei Chayav, the days of his life, Elo Hayamim, this refers to the day, Kol Yimei Chayav, similar to the drasha we have in the Haggadah, Kol, all the days of his life, Lerabot Halelot. So then the question becomes, it seems like the Rambam is contradicting the Sifri, so the simple resolution is, the Rambam doesn't mean at night when the sun goes down, he means when you go to sleep. Nighttime activities. So then, when he goes in to wash himself, to relieve himself, or to sleep, and here the Rambam adds lishon amitasei, sleeping on his bed, in addition to laila, which is makes that answer a little bit unwieldy, because he says here balaila, unless he means that that's at night is when people generally tend to bathe and groom and do all these things, and he's simply explaining those details. Now, what's the reason for this mitzvah? Why does the melech need to have an extra Sefer Torah? I mean, he is a Jew like every other Jew. I should point out to you, as a matter of interest, that it doesn't have to be a melech mebeis David. It is possible that the Jewish people should have a king who is not descended from David HaMelech, or is not even from the tribe of Yehuda. He is a king. He has a halacha of a king. The thing is, he doesn't have an eternal royal house. Shaul HaMelech was a king. He was a real king. His son Ishbosheth was a real king for a while. So any king, as long as he's from with any one of the Jewish people, doesn't matter if he's not to the tribe of Yehuda or a Sion of David and Shlomo, anybody who comes from Jewish parents and he's a king now, he has to have the Sefer Torah because as a Melech Yisrael, that halacha applies to him. So what is a king? A king, we understand in Torah lexicon, not to be a political figure or somebody who has to curry favor with those around them. The Sefer Achinuch says the reason for this mitzvah is Shahamelech Birushut Atzmo. The king can do as he pleases. V'lo Yatzivehu Adam al Maisav. Nobody's going to frown upon him. He says, oh, I don't think you did the right thing, king. Maybe we should impeach you. That's not a king. That's a president. That's a prime minister. That's a figurehead. It's a head of state. That's not a king. A king is a person who nobody can frown upon what he does. Le'yigabay, nobody can protest against the king. He's a king. In fact, if you protest against the king, you usually have your head handed to you. And the Rambam says, the Chinuch says, Beruach sfasav, by the whisper of his lips, Yomis misha yirza bakolimo, he can kill anybody in his whole nation. Anybody in the nation stands up against the king, al pi halacha, a melech Yisrael has the right to behead that individual. And he's not considered a murderer. He's a king. That's the meaning of a king. A king is a person who has absolute power. Ah, says the Sefer Achinuch, Al Kain, that's exactly why Be'emet, Tzaruch Shmira Gedola. That's why he needs a lot of extra protection. Zichron Tov, he needs extra memory sticks. You know, he has to have a little extra RAM added to his hard drive, his memory. Yamod Negdo, wherever he goes, the Sefer Torah will be staring in his face. I hope he's a God-fearing Jew. So he's holding a Torah. He said, off in his head! Oh, Torah. I hope that that's going to kind of keep him grounded. As one wise person once said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Well, that's a Torah idea. Only we have an antidote to the corruption of power. And the corruption of power can be counterbalanced with the influence and the image of the Torah. L'ma'an yichbosh es yitzro, so that the melech will be able to restrain his yetzer hara, his evil inclination. V'yata libo el yotzro, instead of going li'yitzro, to his inclination, to his own selfish concerns, he will instead turn his heart li'yotzro, to his creator. And this is why our sages specifically said in the Gemara, yotze la'milchama v'sefer Torah imo. You're going out to battle. Battle is a horrific thing. Human life becomes expendable. He's got to have a Sefer Torah with him. He's going to sit in judgment. He has to have a Sefer Torah with him. The interesting thing that Rambam doesn't put this in Mishneh Torah, but it's brought down in the Sefer Achinah from the Gemara, Mesev Lechel, he sits down to eat, and the Sefer Torah is placed right in front of him. It's always there. The bottom line is, says the Chinuch, Shalehoya Zaz Mineged Einav. He can't escape the Torah. Wherever he went, he was staring at the Torah scroll. And because the king was always stealing at the Torah scroll, except for when he needs to relieve himself, or when he's going into a merchatz to bathe himself, so the hope was that the king was going to be held in containment and harnessed and tethered to the ground so that his power does not get to his head and he remains a righteous king and ruler of the Jewish people through the virtue of and the power of the Sefer Torah that the king is commanded to write. It did not always work. Not everything always works. Like we have all kinds of mitzvahs. The mitzvah of mezuzah, as we learned about, is to remember Hashem when we walk into house and walk out of house. So somebody say, I have a mezuzah and I do all kinds of bad things. Oh, I guess the mezuzah doesn't work. No, you have a mezuzah. That's what it was supposed to do for you. We're going to learn about the mitzvah of tefillin. We learned about that. When a person wears the tefillin, he's in an elevated state of consciousness. He's connected to Hashem. He says, oh, how come this guy wears tefillin and then he misbehaves? He does the wrong thing. That's our responsibility to implement Hashem's mitzvahs and to follow in accordance with their inspiration and teaching. So that's the 29th shir of the Rambam.